initial building block in place, perhaps we could work on some on the next step. I know one of the commitments we share at this point is not just the ceasefire, but also allowing humanitarian access to get in. That's badly needed.
State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert speaking to the media about the ceasefire in Syria and the cooperation between the United States and Russia to make that ceasefire possible.
I think it's a real welcome sight. Not that the fight is over, but a welcome sight that Mosul has been liberated. Again, a tough fight ahead for the Iraqi government, other governments in the area, coalition partners. That's something that we're addressing here in Washington, but we remain committed to that and also to the Iraqi people and the Iraqi government.
Police in Birmingham, Alabama, searching for a man who killed three people this morning at a mobile home park. AL.com reports the incident happened in the Peachtree Crossings community in Gardendale, Alabama. Police believe the shooting was domestic-related. He reportedly ran off into the woods after shooting three people. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom Sleep Gels. They're non-habit-forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom Sleep Gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
One of the richest men in the world saw his fortune go up $1 billion in just one day.
Money Magazine says Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos made over $1.4 billion on Monday alone because of a rise in Amazon's stock price. The company's stock has been rising since it announced Amazon Prime Day. Bezos' net worth has grown by $3.4 billion since last Wednesday, making him worth over $85 billion. A Bloomberg report says that so far in 2017, Bezos' net worth has increased over $20 billion, more than anyone in the world.
The investigation continuing into the crash of a Marine plane that left 16 soldiers dead.
Search teams are busy again today, recovering evidence to help figure out why a Marine Corps plane crashed in a soybean field in the Mississippi Delta. Major Andrew Aranda says investigators will examine the debris, check maintenance records, and talk to witnesses as they try to determine what happened to the plane.
All of that information is going to be looked at as part of the investigation. They're very thorough, very extensive. Any contributing causes will be looked at.
With 16 people killed, it's the worst Marine Corps aircraft disaster since a helicopter crash that killed 31 in Iraq back in 2005. Randy Bell in Jackson.
Federal safety regulators say they're looking into the death of a Texas teenager whose family says she was executed when she picked up a cell phone while taking a bath. USA Radio News.
And good afternoon, and welcome to an edition of Modern Design. Looks like we're having a little technical difficulties this afternoon. I have some music that's supposed to be playing, but I guess that's not going to happen for us today. Maybe in the break we'll have it. Today we have a very interesting live show in-house studio. We have a returning guest, and her name is Lindsay Mancella. She is a Hunterdon County resident. We're going to talk a little bit today what makes contemporary contemporary. Good morning. Good afternoon, Lindsay.
Good afternoon, Rich.
I don't know that I'll ever stop saying good morning for this. For 3 years, every Wednesday I say good morning. So that's going to be hard for me to break. Okay, why don't we take a look at today's weather?
All right, so today we have a high of 88 and a low of 71. Unfortunately, we have some chance of thunderstorms. On Thursday, we have a high of 91, a low of 69. Unfortunately, more chances of thunderstorm,
rain,
Rich.
Yeah.
Friday, same deal, 81, high of 81, low 67, 90% chance of thunderstorms. Saturday, we have a cloudy day, but there's some sun peeking out there, high of 85 and a low of 64. And finally, on Sunday, we have a high of 89 and a low of 66, partly cloudy.
So Sunday, no rain?
There's a 10% chance, but...
Okay, so it looks like we're going to do stuff on Sunday, guys. All right, we have a great show in store. We're going to go to commercial messages, and we'll be back with more of Modern Design right after these messages.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I'm an interior designer, stager, and contractor. I've been in the business for 20 years, and we come to you every Wednesday live in studio now in our afternoon slot, which is 2 to 3. I'm told that's our permanent time slot. We'll see. But it's kind of nice. We're looking out the window today, and I don't see any rain in sight, Jesse, so maybe you're not such a good forecaster. We'll see what happens. Although I do think when it gets hot like this, rain is on the way. I'm very lucky to have him. One of my favorite people of all time is Lindsay Mansella. Don't make me laugh, Lindsay. And she is a very good friend, has become a very good friend, and also is a good client. We did a wonderful project together over time and really made a beautiful kitchen and a beautiful contemporary home. So our topic today has to be something that I deal with all the time, and that is creating more of a contemporary aesthetic. And our show title today is What Makes a Contemporary Home Contemporary? And I think that's kind of interesting because I think everybody has their own understanding, and you guys probably too because you're younger. I would say, without generalizing, I bet you both like cleaner lines and a more contemporary exterior, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I see they're shaking their heads, and you can't see that. You can't listen to that. You have to say yes or no. Yep. Okay, good. So having said that, Lindsay did a sort of an about face. She has a beautiful... not going to give your address on the radio, but a beautiful home in Hunterdon County, which is a contemporary, and she was able to bring it back with the help of Maven Hill Designs, was able to bring it back and create that in a wonderful, wonderful way. So what I want to ask you first is something kind of relatively simple. Is the contemporary design aesthetic something that you always liked? Did you always, when you got married or the first time you were starting to buy stuff for your home, did you always like contemporary, or is it something that evolved in your personal taste?
No, I didn't like contemporary at all.
Really?
No. And even when we were looking for our house in Hunterdon County,
sure,
we asked the realtor to show us whatever, but do not show us anything contemporary.
How funny is that?
That's very funny because as we're going down the road, we looked at a bunch of houses and nothing really... appeal to us.
Well, in Hunterdon County, there's not a lot of contemporary houses.
No.
Even though it's kind of, Hunterdon County in a way should have more contemporary houses because of the nature. Because when you have a contemporary house, you have more sight lines, you have more glass, and it's more open. So that lends itself to showing the landscape, right?
Right,
but
right.
But pretty much when they settled out here in Hunterdon, most of the houses are colonials, aren't they?
They are. So we drove down this one road and we saw this sign. Mm-hmm. And we said, my husband asked, what house is back there?
Sure.
And she said, well, I'm going to show you.
Right.
Long, windy driveway, and then all of a sudden it opens up, and it's a contemporary.
So did you say we're not getting out of the car? Did you say, well, because first of all, your property is absolutely beautiful, so you must have been captivated by that right away, right?
Well, that's why we bought it.
Right.
Was for
right.
the property, not
but when
for
you,
the house.
When, when you were in the driveway now and you see a contemporary, did you not want to get out of the car? Did you say, let's look at it?
No. Okay. No, we wanted to look at it.
Right.
And I still wasn't, it wasn't hitting me,
Now, when you looked at the house, how was it decorated inside? Was it contemporary or was it traditional inside? What did it look like when you saw it?
It was empty.
It was empty, so there was nothing.
Correct. So that's a good thing because some people, they can't see past the furniture and the decorations. And
sure.
This way, I can do that, but...
What color was the outside of the house? Was it a gray back then or was it a different color?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. Honestly, I don't remember. Might have been green.
Green?
Maybe.
And some of the older pictures you showed me, I think it was green, actually.
Well, we did paint it green at
first. Okay.
But I can't remember what the original color was. It's so long ago. But we did paint it green because we were in the woods.
Sure.
And you get
it's a natural color.
Yeah, to blend in, but it fades.
Sure.
So it actually ended up looking a little tan.
Yeah, when I saw it in the beginning, it looked tan.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we evolved to all the gray tones. Mm-hmm. So if you're not sort of necessarily geared towards contemporary in general, the house you came to, what was it like before then? How did you do your last house before you moved to this house that I worked on for you?
The last house was Victorian.
wow, could there be something more different than going from Victorian to Gothic? They're probably, they're like the absolute opposite of each other, right? It's just unbelievable. So the thing about Victorian that's kind of nice is that you have collections, it's very taste specific, and then you can go looking for things. People that have Victorian houses will say, I like collect this or I collect that. Did you come to this house with a lot of collections because you started out with a Victorian house last?
Not really, because we sold it.
But I mean, what about all your furnishings and stuff? Did you bring, I guess my question to you is, to this new contemporary house you bought, which is not a style that you really wanted, did you bring your Victorian stuff to this house? To this contemporary house?
A few things.
And how did that work when you came into it? Did it work? Did it coexist well? Or did you not like the way the things looked in the
contemporary? Did not look like the way it looked at all.
Right.
We just brought the basics with us, and we got rid of everything else, knowing that we were going to buy new furniture. Yes.
So after you moved into the house, the property is beautiful, you're in a beautiful town and so on. We didn't get involved until many years later. You had already been in the house quite a number of years before I sort of worked with you on creating a contemporary aesthetic. So you did decorate it first, and you did bring people in and do things. What did you do initially to this contemporary house to make it fit and feel more, you know, put your stamp on it?
Well, I went traditional.
Really?
I did.
No, but did you go traditional?
I did.
No, but did you go traditional? And this is what I even want to ask you guys. Did you go traditional because at the time, which was probably about what year, would you say?
We got the house in 89.
Right.
And we were there for a few years. Then we redid.
So let's say the early 90s. The early 90s were the dot-com years. There were very there was a lot of money around at the time, and the style became, in the early 90s, it was a return to traditionalism. So you saw dark wood and jewel tone colors, and it was very rich and very heavy. And when you were doing drapes, you did drapes that had so many tassels you didn't know, and the more tassels, the more money you had coming off of them, and that was the style. So I guess my question to you is, did you do your contemporary house traditional because that's what you saw around you as surfaces and that's what appealed to you? Or is it because, you know, what was the impetus, I think, in going that way?
Well, I did like what we did the first time
around. And your furnishings are that you put in there were beautiful.
Thank you.
They weren't contemporary, but, I mean, you did a lot of things like tiger maple, and you had that gorgeous Maitland Smith foyer table. I mean, these are beautiful things that you had in that house.
Thank you. No, they were quality, but I think I had to work my way toward the contemporary.
Okay.
Because I didn't like contemporary at first.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you feel that contemporary was cold? Because a lot of times, and I shouldn't generalize, but a lot of women tell me when I go to early on in my career, the man would say I wanted to be more contemporary, and the wife would say I feel contemporary is cold. Did you feel like before you knew it, did you feel that contemporary could be cold?
Not really. I think modern. I would say modern to me is colder than contemporary.
It's cleaner, right?
But I don't know why I did the traditional, but I did, and we liked it. But I just never loved the house.
Right.
I never loved it, even though we had nice things in it. But after we did the renovation work with you, we put all the contemporary things in it. And I fell in love with the house for the very first time.
Isn't that wonderful? Ever. It makes sense. We're going to go to commercial messages. We'll be back shortly with more of Monitor Design here on WHCR-DB.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use. Let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. We do our show every Wednesday here live in the studio. And I do have Lindsay Mancella, who's been a guest on Modern Design, although you got to see our new studios today and our new digs at the Large House. Which really is, it's appropriate named, right? It really is like the Large House.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It really
beautiful
is.
Historic building. And I was saying to Lindsay before we came on the air live today that it's been said that when the Lindbergh trials were going on back in the day, that Charles Lindbergh would have his come over from the Flemington Courthouse and have his lunches here at the Large. The family's name was Large. That was their family name. Not that they were large or the house is large, but the Large House was where he went and had his lunches. So there's some historic things about that, which I think is kind of cool. So our topic today happens to be what makes a contemporary contemporary. And in my 20 years tenure of being an interior designer and a contractor, I've never seen more of a time that people are asking me to at least make their house more contemporary or even more transitional, to clean things up, to make it more modern, regardless of whether they have a bungalow, a center hall colonial, a mid-century modern, or a contemporary. Continually, I'm hearing from people, even if they have shelves and shelves of collectibles, they want to find a way to repurpose them and make it a little bit cleaner and a little bit more contemporary. I'm going to ask the guys, and I'd introduce you today. So we have today helping me out, Connor. Say hi.
There.
And also Jesse, who's been with me for a couple of weeks as well. And they're doing they're running the show today. I get to be almost a guest and just read, which is kind of fun. I hope I don't forget when they go back to school. So you guys in general, because you know you're at the beginning of your careers and doing things, and we talked about this in last week's show, like when you look at a building or a house, what do you want your first house to be? Do you want it to be a contemporary? What do you like?
Honestly, I have a very eclectic sense of style in that as much as I enjoy modern homes and contemporary homes,
sure.
I like to have things that I believe are memorable.
Right.
So things where, like, if I, like, they're just very unique. So I'll have them in my room or in my house and
sure.
then I'll go out and it's very rare that I'll see something similar. It's very unique and it's like, it's mine.
Sure. But things that are important to you. How about you, Jesse?
I love modern. Yeah. Contemporary, that's been my style. You can ask my mom for a while now. My mom was a designer. She's more of a traditional type of girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I always was like, Mom, I love this. It's contemporary. And she's like, it's not my style. So that's kind of like a dream house, rather, is something more contemporary.
So a little personal fact, Jesse is moving, and he's moving into a brand new space. And sometimes Jesse would come to me with like pictures on his phone. He's like, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? So last week when we were doing the show, he showed me a picture of a banister that your mom wanted, and it was very ornate, and I said, thumbs down. And I thought, oh, my God, she's going to hurt my feelings. She's going to say, oh, this is not good. How did she handle it?
She was sad. She loved them, and... It was always her dream to have those in her house eventually.
That's a lot of pressure to put on somebody when you say, I wrecked somebody's dreams. It really is. But I think a cleaner lines for that one would very work. And I think when we talk about what makes a contemporary contemporary, I think there are a lot of things that do it. But one of the hallmarks of contemporary or design is sort of straighter, cleaner lines. If you look at sofas today, sofas always had these big upholstered, oversized arms. You don't see that much anymore. You see cleaner, straight lines. You still could put that in a transitional or a traditional house, but it's just paring things down and having straighter, fluid, cleaner lines. And I think in general that just looks good, don't you, Lindsay?
I do.
Even if you have a traditional house.
Oh, yeah. definitely.
I just think it's just nicer. It's simpler, and I think it'll stand the test of time more because it is clean.
Yeah.
Because you're starting to see things from the people come to my store, particularly the Maplewood store, and they're asking me for a mid-century modern, and I'm looking at these places and salvage places that go online, and I look at my parents' dinette set from 1964, and it's these cool modern swivel chairs, and like people want that, and my parents threw that out in 1978. So it's amazing how things sort of come back.
Yeah.
And people are looking for that design aesthetic because it was modern, it was clean, and it worked. So that does, I think it does shows you that that stuff does stand the test of time, even though in fact it is contemporary. So, Lindsay, so now you've taken this to the point where you have a contemporary house.
Yes.
You've done it well, but with traditional furniture. What did you start? What was your first project in this contemporary to make it contemporary? What did you do first? I would say, if you don't want me to say, you started with the outside, wouldn't you say? The garage, maybe?
Oh, once you came into the picture.
Sure.
Yes.
So what was your impetus? Like, what did you see something out that was contemporary, or did you see something that inspired you? Did you go on any websites? What got you started on this new look, this contemporary look?
Well, the color of the house, I saw a house that, well, I saw a black house.
So you, okay, so we're going to talk about that. So you had a green house that had faded, so you were ready to paint.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so then you saw a house that was black. Where did you see the house?
Black house.
I love that.
In Highbridge.
Oh, nice.
And that's what I wanted.
You wanted a black house, and your husband said, no way, right? No, he's pretty good. No. He probably do it. I did. Oh, I said it. Okay. All right. Ow, that hurts. No, I said, okay.
And I, well, think I
won't
you were
give
right.
You, right. Okay. So I said, I won't give you a black house, but I'll give you a charcoal gray house.
And that's what I got, and I'm in love with it.
Right. And the color is just spot on.
I think
it's
you
so
were
beautiful.
Right.
It is so beautiful. It's dark, it's dramatic, and rich, dark grays are very classy and very rich. But I think for you, the black wasn't right. I think if you had a little cottage or something, we could do black. But you have this substantial house, so I think the charcoal was absolutely gorgeous. So if I could, we changed all the outside surfaces first. So one of the things we did was we painted this house this beautiful, rich charcoal color. Then Lindsay had a garage door. How would you describe your existing, the first garage door?
Well, it's a double door. Mm-hmm. And the siding, which is wood on the house, was vertical.
Right.
But the wood on the garage door was at an angle.
Right.
And it just...
It didn't flow. It wasn't organic. It was kind of hard on the eye, and because the way your house is, you saw it first. So we started by switching to a new garage door that was very custom. And it's sort of a... I would say it was a color of a very rich... honeytone wood or like a tanned leather.
That's a good one.
And you know, I always love that combination. My dream car is a Mercedes E-Class convertible, and the E-Class comes in a combination that you can't get in other Mercedes, and that is where the outside is a dark, rich silver gray and the inside is saddle leather. And that was kind of the inspiration of bringing those two colors together, this rich saddle leather color and then beautiful dark gray. Don't you think they just come together beautifully?
It's so beautiful.
It's so rich. So we started with the garage door. Lindsay was instrumental in sort of designing the windows to the one side.
Yes.
You can interrupt. It's okay. You can tell me.
Well, it was the front door first.
Oh, that's right. It was the front door first. Yes.
I found the front door.
Okay, that's right.
And I showed it to you to see what you thought.
Oh, my God, it was so good.
And...
Well, describe the front door.
It's got the... What do you call those? Side light?
Right.
Side light glass.
Right.
But it's just...
Open, so it's more modern.
Yes.
Right.
It's just glass, no
right.
design.
No.
And then the door has... four horizontal windows.
Which is great. It brings so much light, like sort of dappled light into the foyer. It
made
the house look bigger.
If you're at the front door, you can see right through the house to the outside.
Which was right. And the door that you had on before that house was, you had a Victorian front door and a contemporary house. It couldn't be more
Victorian leaded glass.
Yeah, it was so wrong.
Swirls in it.
With swirls on it on a contemporary house. So once we did, and I agree, it was the door was the inspiration. So once we did the door first, we look at this garage doors that was going all over the place, and I said, let's come up with something that mirrors that a little bit. And that's where we came up with a custom garage door. If you guys are ever looking for a garage door company, I have a terrific guy in Lebanon, New Jersey. Glenn with Lebanon Garage Doors, who's excellent.
Wonderful, wonderful people.
Came up with a beautiful door for us, and it just brought the house together, I think. I put that picture of the garage door on Facebook, and someone said, that must have cost $15,000. That is some garage door. It changed the whole house. And
oh,
it
yes.
really did.
It did.
So once we did the, painted the house, we did the front door, we did the garage door, you did the roof.
Did the roof
and
in
then,
gray.
And then we started working a little bit on the inside. Mm-hmm. So do you remember where we started? I think the foyer, right? It's been a long time already.
I know.
I
wow.
thought we started in the foyer first,
it
right?
It could have been.
Because we dug up the foyer floor, right?
The
we
fixed floor.
The, yeah, so I think we started with the foyer. What was the original foyer like? I don't remember. I'm getting dementia already. Oh,
pink.
My goodness.
Pink.
Yeah, a lot of pink.
Faded into white.
Yeah.
And the solarium was the same.
Lindsay, if you had to pick a color for a house, like what would be not like what would the color that would be the worst color for you? I would say pink. For me, it's
that,
pink.
That was, that. There's a lot. But
somebody asked
bad.
Me last week, what's the color you hate the most in decorating? And I said, without a doubt, for me, it's pink. Like, I'll wear a pink shirt, you know, but I hate pink in decorating.
Yeah,
and you had a lot of, your house was a lot of pink. So we went from a pink house, and then you did a new tile there. Tell me what you did. Did you change the shape of the tile? What'd
the shape,
you do?
The size and the color mm-hmm. completely. The color is, you found this really great tile that would work with the table I got. Mm-hmm. So it had gray, and it had a little bit of brown in it, and it was really beautiful, and it was square.
Right.
And then you said we should do the same in the solarium because it was that same pink tile.
Right.
But you did rectangle
right.
tiles, but the same color.
Right, so it was more linear for the space.
Right.
It worked well in the space. So I think one of the keys for inside of decorating, when you bring the grays or the grayish tones, and of course we all are familiar with the grays, but the grayishes are, of course, a combination of gray and a little bit of browns or beiges in them. They really, in itself, make a place more contemporary, don't you think? Just by adding that element?
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things when we painted, and we'll talk about that, is that sort of the gray kind of grew into other rooms
it
that
did.
We weren't
it
originally
did.
Doing. Because that gray look in itself is kind of clean and contemporary. Mm-hmm.
But I did tell you originally I wanted to paint the inside gray.
Right. Right.
That was, I always knew that right. was what I wanted.
And as each room got done and we did things to it, I think, did that inspire you to do more? Because what I signed on to do with you and what we actually did was so much. We really did the whole first floor of that house.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the inspiration to go further? Was it like you liked it so much, or was it like you started to see something that was bringing the house together? What was your thing into doing everything? Because we replaced all the living room furniture. We did a beautiful new dining room. We really did a lot.
Well, we had to redo the kitchen.
Right.
Because it was that, it was getting.
Well, that was the job that I was hired
because
to do.
Because the appliances were.
Shot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We put enough money into those. So.
Right.
So we brought you in to do that.
Uh-huh.
And then the kitchen family room. And then I have this big room outside of the kitchen.
Right.
Well, it was. Now it's outside of the family room because you changed the doors. But it was just a big, empty room with a washing machine and dryer.
What, and a waste of space.
It
was. And beautiful space off the back of the house.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I wanted to do like a bar type thing there. Mm-hmm. And actually, we brought other people in.
Sure.
And nobody understood my vision of contemporary.
Right.
And definitely not with the bar in that room. And you did. You understood everything I wanted to do.
Right.
And so we did that. We put the bar with a sink, a wine cooler, and a beer cooler.
Can I just interrupt you for 1 second? I have to taste them because it happened to me the other night. I put the pictures. Oh, we're going to go to commercial soon. But I put the pictures of your room on Pinterest, and continually people take that board of your where your bar is. As a favorite, and I see it over and
wow.
over again. Yeah, that shot, definitely. All right, we're going to go back to it. We're going to go to our news, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design. Today's topic is making contemporary contemporary after the news break.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I consider the FBI director's most important duty to ensure that nothing distracts the selfless patriots at the FBI from the mission.
Christopher Wray testifying in front of Congress today as they consider his appointment to be the new head of the FBI. He said he'll run an independent bureau. Wray also said his loyalty is to the Constitution and the rule of law. He says the FBI won't be driven by anything other than facts, law, and impartial pursuit of justice. New details coming out on the crash that left 16 Marine soldiers dead. Here's Brigadier General Bradley James.
Indications are something went wrong at cruise altitude. There is a large debris pattern.
In Bucks County, Pennsylvania, investigators say they have evidence but no remains as they search for four missing men. The DA says search efforts are continuing on a 90-acre farm. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for VRA. In 2003, Kip Herridge founded VRA, his global investment newsletter. His VRA is unlike anything you've ever seen. He's outperformed Wall Street every year since 2003. Today, in honor of the national rollout of my radio show, Kip wants to give every listener his new book for free. It's called Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. To beat the markets and become wealthy in the age of Trump, get your free copy at VRAinsider.com. It's 100% free at VRAinsider.com. That's VRAinsider.com.
Weeds love your garden. They hide near flowers knowing you can't touch them. Now you can with Roundup Weed and Grass Killer with SureShot 1 from the Home Depot. A special buy at just $19.97. The protective shield means pinpoint accuracy so you can target weeds without harming surrounding plants. With Roundup in hand, weeds are in trouble. Roundup Weed and Grass Killer with SureShot 1, just $19.97, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last, U.S. only.
An arrest has been made in the bombing at a military recruitment center in Oklahoma.
Authorities arresting Ben Roden on Tuesday afternoon in Tulsa. It comes after someone placed a pipe bomb at the recruitment center in Bigsby, Oklahoma, late on Monday night. The explosion damaging the front door of the center. No one was injured. FBI Special Agent Jesse Rice saying that they have backed off on labeling it possible domestic terrorism, but saying they still take the case very seriously.
Especially to a hit on our military, that is a big deal to us. Yeah, this is something that we do not take lightly.
I'm Chris Barnes.
Protesters in France are planning to demonstrate against President Trump when he visits Paris for Bastille Day. Trump expected to attend official celebrations of France's national holiday, which commemorates the storming of the royal fortress, the Bastille, during the French Revolution in 1789. Trump was invited to Bastille Day events last month by French President Emmanuel Macron. For more news and analysis, join us online at usaradio.com.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom sleep gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom sleep gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
If people jump on you for the amount of coffee you're drinking every day, just pull this study out and say, hey, I'm trying to live longer. Here's Chris Barnes.
In their studies, researchers in the U.S. and Europe report that the more coffee people drank, the less likely they were to die early from heart disease, diabetes, or cancer. Men did seem to get more of a positive effect from coffee than women, though both showed reduced risk of early death, and it didn't matter if you drank caffeinated or decaf, so it's not about the caffeine. I'm Chris Barnes.
A man was arrested after breaking into a church, but he bypassed the offering plates to steal a different kind of coin.
The guy got caught stealing three canisters of frozen chocolate candy coins from Living Messiah Ministries near Robson and Main Streets in Mesa. Officials say the man was caught on security video about a week ago, breaking the glass on the front door of the church and snooping around. Investigators later found the freezer door open, and then when they confronted him a short time later, the chocolate was said to be still cold to the touch.
Former Port Authority executive David Wildstein will avoid prison but spend 3 years on probation for his role in the George Washington Bridge Lane closing scandal. Wildstein was considered a mastermind of the political payback scheme and will also perform 500 hours of community service. The U.S. Attorney's Office wanted him spared prison because he cooperated in the case that sent two members of Governor Chris Christie's inner circle to prison. Christie was not charged and said he wasn't involved. USA Radio News.
And we are back with Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. A couple things about me. I have a bunch of things going on. But one is, I'm sort of casually dressed today because we are moving. Maven Hill Designs for the past 3.5 years has been at 1 U.S. Highway 31, Flemington, New Jersey. It's been hard for me not to say that. But I am at a new location now. my new location for Maven Hill Designs is 176 U.S. Highway 202 North. I think I said South last week by mistake. North in Ringo's, New Jersey. We're in the Hunterdon Commons Shopping Center, and we're right next to Planet Fitness and Sears. And great new space, all new inventory. So come check me out at my location, my new location in Ringo's. Also, you can visit me at my North Jersey location, not too far from the Short Hills Mall, at 191 B Maplewood Avenue, Maplewood, New Jersey. To reach Maven Hill Designs at any time, my phone number is 908-884-0770. That's 908-884-0770. Today's topic, it happens to be what makes a contemporary contemporary, and I'm here with Lindsay Mancella, who has a lovely contemporary home in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and we're talking about the things that she did to make a space more contemporary, maybe some ideas that you guys can pick up to make your space, whether it be a bungalow, an apartment, a big home, a colonial, just make it more contemporary and have cleaner lines. So before we were going to news, Lindsay was telling us about the kitchen, and you started by taking an area that was sort of kind of like a, I would say it was sort of a mudroom, if you will, but it was such a big space with a washer and dryer. It was kind of, I thought, a waste of space, and I kind of wanted to incorporate that into that the whole house. So when you entertained, you had that. So we took an area and we created a bar. And let's talk a little bit about that because I think it's really sharp looking.
Okay.
We did a white kitchen, which I do often, and my signature look happens to be these days a very nicely appointed white shaker door cabinet. But I didn't want to repeat the color in the other area of the kitchen, the bar area. We wanted to do something a little more chic. So what did we come up with there?
We did black in the bar area, but we also did black on the island.
Very nice, right? The combination. I think the black is striking. Would you ever have thought about doing a whole kitchen in black?
No.
No, too much, right?
Too much, for me.
Yeah, I agree. But just having it in a select area, I think just when I take pictures of it, it's just visually beautiful, isn't it?
I think so.
Very much so. So tell me in that bar area what you have in there. Do you do a wine refrigerator? How did you set it up?
There's a wine cooler,
mm-hmm.
I call it a beer cooler,
mm-hmm.
and some cabinets, mm-hmm. some pull drawers,
right.
And then up above there's cabinets, and mm-hmm. that's where the liquor is, and the glasses, and one cabinet is all for coffee, because I have my coffee machine there, and there's a sink.
You find that it opened up the space. We actually moved the door opening so that it seemed much more, the flow of the house was better.
That was amazing. That was amazing.
I think it gave you a bigger house without any square footage, right?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
That door should have always
been where it was.
It is now.
And that's what I say to anybody. When you go into a space, I often tell people, other than just painting to clean up, don't do major renovations right away. Because, Lindsay, don't you think in the beginning, if you did the renovations, you may have not done them as well as you wound up doing them in the end? Because you lived in the house long enough to kind of figure out how you live?
Yes. Wouldn't have been what it is now.
No, right? And which I think suits the kind of house that it is. So many people that I know have preconceived ideas, and before they move in, they just change everything. They do construction, and then they find they do things that are foolish. One of the things that consistently people tell me that they do is they put a desk in the kitchen, you know, to pay bills. Nobody ever uses that desk in the kitchen. They'd rather have the cabinets for storage. So I'm constantly taking those out and adding cabinetry there after the fact. The second thing is that people, when they're designing their houses, create this big sitting room in their master bedroom. I don't know about you, but I have to work for a living, and I don't walk. I run out of bed because I'm always late getting in the shower to go. I'm not hanging out in my bedroom. How would you feel, Lindsay, if you had a big sitting room? Would you sit in the sitting room with your bedroom? Would you rather be downstairs?
Pardon?
Would you rather be more downstairs?
I'd rather be downstairs. Yeah. I sleep up in the bedroom.
Right, and that's it, right?
And that's it.
I agree 100%.
Exactly.
So sometimes when you live in a space first, now it's very important when you're going to take over space just for before your furniture comes to paint. You should paint before you come in, put your own colors, clean it up. But I say live in a space for a while. Get to know how it works. Where do you spend your most time? And then you do the right things, I think. So we did the kitchen. We did a black and white motif. We brought in some new furniture. Tell me what furnishings you brought into the space then.
Well, in the family room, we brought in a sofa and two leather chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And the leather chairs, again, have complement the outside because you can see the front door.
Now, where did you get the furniture?
Ethan Allen.
So tell us about Ethan Allen, because I talk to people about Ethan Allen all the time. And when I tell contemporary people about Ethan Allen, in fact, the Ethan Allen I actually took Lindsay to, and Patty's my rep there, she's great, is that used to be called Myron's Colonial Ethan Allen Gallery. And back in the day, when you thought of Ethan Allen, what'd you think of?
I didn't think anything.
Well, most people thought of, like, traditional furniture. Because I remember my Uncle Joe and his info lived in Mountainside, and we're coming back, and my father saw the sign for Ethan Allen. My mom goes, I don't want colonial furniture, because you thought of it as traditional. What did you think when I took you to Ethan Allen? Were you surprised?
Gorgeous.
Right. But beyond that, were you surprised what it was?
I was surprised with everything they had in there.
Right.
Really
not
was.
Stodgy, not old-fashioned,
no.
Right?
No.
Tell me
not
what you
all.
Saw when you went in there.
Well, now it's definitely more contemporary in there.
Sure.
I think they were transitioning over to
it. It was very much
contemporary.
Becoming the new style when
yes.
I brought you there, right?
Yes. So they still had transitional pieces and right. contemporary pieces. But everything was just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And Patty was very, very helpful. I told her what I was looking for. Mm. And she helped with the fabric. And she was just wonderful.
Well, let's talk about some of the pieces because I think they're very telling. So one of the things you told me after the kitchen and the family room were together, so we did this black and white kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and then we painted the room gray, and you had gray flooring, which is very telling of contemporary. So when you bought pieces, what type of a sofa did you do?
It was a Chesterfield.
Right.
It was a Chesterfield.
So you did a classic sofa, but you did a couple of things that made it modern, right?
Yes. We brought those leather chairs in.
Right.
So that just... I guess you would call them like cigar chairs.
Right.
Well, they
right.
used to be called that, but the,
right.
the leather.
But the leather, tell them about the leather. The leather is the same tanned leather that the color of the front door mm-hmm. and the garage door are. So the sofa is gray, sort of like the house.
Right.
And the chairs are the tanned leather cover of the doors. So your eye has sort of a synergy because this is a contemporary house and it's sort of open with not much window treatments. You see from the outside and it coexists,
yes.
don't you think, beautifully?
Beautifully.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's all windows. So
right.
You
it's
see
like a tree
outside.
House. Right.
Yes. So you see the front door from inside and everything just goes.
So, and that's very popular with contemporary, to repeat patterns, to do big pieces of furniture, but to keep the colors consistent and simple. And you repeated the outside and inside. And I think that's a tip for people in doing contemporary.
And then the coffee table, it's oversized,
mm-hmm.
but it's glass.
Right.
So you really only see the legs.
Mm.
And a rug, a shag.
Let's talk about rug drama. We got our rugs from Rugs to Riches here in Flemington, which I've shared my space with John for many years. So with a little drama to the rug, and in the end, I thought we got the best rug. Talk
oh,
about the rug,
because
I think the rug is so beautiful and different, right?
It's black with like a silvery white
mm-hmm.
as well.
Right.
And it's a shag. It's
a modern shag. And
modern shag.
But the fibers themselves are sort of different sizes in a way, aren't they?
The black is one, and then the silver white is more silky.
Yeah, really sharp. Right. And let's talk about, in that space, artwork. Tell me what you did with artwork. What did you go with, and what did you do as far as artwork in the space?
Well, my inspiration for all the colors came from that geisha painting I have, the
and
geisha woman.
So you found a... So tell me about the geisha.
There's different shades of gray in the mm. background.
Uh-huh.
Then you have the woman. Her face is very white.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, at the bottom of the painting, has that rusty orange.
Right.
And those were the colors.
And it just all brought it together.
And it just, yes.
And when we hung it, it just like was stunning in the space,
yep.
wasn't it?
Yep.
Okay, we're going to take a commercial message. We'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My guest in studio live today is the lovely Lindsay Mancella, who's been on our show before. And we're talking today about the topic of what makes a contemporary contemporary. And I'm taking you through Lindsay's beautiful transformation of her home back to a true contemporary. So we talked a little bit about the kitchen and the family room. Let's talk about your mailbox, because that was not on the list, and I just drove you crazy over it. So tell me about your big swan mailbox and how I made you take it down.
Well, it wasn't a swan.
It kind of should have been a swan. What was it?
It had wisteria flowers on
it. Oh, that's right.
It.
Okay, same thing,
purple
swan.
Wisteria.
Right. Doesn't that sound like the perfect mailbox for a contemporary? Good thing that Lindsay's house is really, really, really far, like just from the mailbox to the house. But so she had this like really very like ducky flowery mailbox. And one day I'm like, oh my God, Lindsay, every detail is perfect, and you have this mailbox. So tell me what we did. We did a mini makeover, and I kind of left it to you, and you kind of just did it yourself. So what'd you do to make the mailbox work?
Well, first of all, I came from a Victorian.
Right, and you brought your Victorian mailbox with it.
Well, I didn't bring it with me, but that's, yes. Yes. So anyway, you told me I really need to get rid of that thing.
Yeah.
And you were right. Mm-hmm. Again, you were right. So
tell people if they have a mailbox that's kind of goofy or they inherited, what you could do to make it better. Because you did a really good job. All I did was tell you to make it more modern, and I gave you some basic ideas, but you did it. You changed the post. You painted. Tell me what you did.
No, well, I didn't change the post.
Well, you cut the top off.
There was a ball at the top. I cut that off.
So you cut off the ball finial so it looked more contemporary. Then what did you do?
And I painted it the color of the house because I had the paint left
so
over.
So then that's a good thing, and you should do that. You should have elements when you're far from the driveway. Have the entrance element match the house. That's a nice way so it coexists.
And then I bought a black mailbox.
Yeah. So just changing it out from the wisteria mailbox and the white and the finial and so on really made it look like you transformed it and looked great.
Definitely made a big difference.
And then we got some new, more modern letters, right? Several
numbers,
sets, actually.
Numbers.
Oh, numbers. I said the wrong words.
We're working on that.
Old tech. So we have a couple sets of that number. But anyway,
yes.
So we have some new contemporary numbers. And that's a thing. You know, you go to, you change your style. Change your mailbox. Mailbox says, this is who I am.
And I did not know that.
Yeah. No,
I never would have thought of that.
Well, when you think about that, what do people see when they're passing by your street? They see, this is what Lindsay is. This is her style, right? So your mailbox is the first sort of representation of your home. So it should be reflective of your home, don't you think?
Yes. And I have to tell you, my neighbor that I share the driveway with, and you know her, mm-hmm. She was so happy when I changed it. She said, I couldn't look at that thing one more time.
I wasn't going to tell you, but I ran into her at where she works, and she said, thank God you changed that mailbox. So a small amount of money, right, Lindsay? And it really transformed the space.
Exactly.
So let's talk in general now. We're getting towards the end of the hour, and I really want to talk to people about just simple things that they could do in their home to make a house look more contemporary. And you're a good indicator. I think you have a good sense of a contemporary style. And I'm going to throw some out to you. I'm probably a little bit more eclectic than you are. I think you're very clean and you have a keen eye of contemporary, maybe even a little bit better than me, to be honest with you. So I'm going to throw some stuff out to you that I think, and then maybe you can throw out some stuff that you think for our listeners to make their existing house more contemporary. And some of them are basically very simple, and that is to sort of neutralize your decor, to make things simpler, don't you think?
Yes. Less is more.
Less is more. And I think you told me before the show, when we were going through the pre-questions, you said to me your impetus for, after you had done your house, you know, very well with a traditional, was you wanted to start getting rid of stuff. You wanted to purge,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes. I purged a lot.
So I think a lot of people can sort of undecorate, and that's one way to make your space more contemporary. That won't cost you anything. take down heavy drapes. Like you said, you thought your drapes looked too heavy by the end.
We had the heavy drapes.
Right.
And they didn't cover the window. They just
framed
the window out.
Right.
But we got rid of those.
Right.
And we put the solar shades that...
Oh, my God. I had to totally talk you into those.
You did talk me into those.
So, Lindsay spent, I'm sure, thousands of dollars on very expensive, elaborate drapes, which was very of the day. So, when she took them all off and we patched and painted, she's like, you're not putting anything on those windows. And I had to beg her to do, and I tell this to my listeners all the time, one of the best window coverings you can have is a simple, simple, simple solar shade. And Lindsay fought me and fought me. And then when they went up, what'd you say?
Oh, my goodness. It's so beautiful. You were right.
It just, well, tell them what it did. It just framed the window just a little bit.
It defined the ceiling from the wall.
Right.
And I don't know how to put it into words, but it just...
It had a layer, I thought. I thought it added a level or a layer that you needed there. So I do like the idea in a contemporary setting of not having window treatments, but clearly there are certain areas where you need something, a solar shade. Do you guys know what solar shades are?
I'm not familiar.
A solar shade is a roller shade that has sort of perforations and that they allow light to come through to be filtered through in the space. So roller shades and solar shades are slowly becoming the most predominant window treatment covering. They're a great look, and roller shades are really back, and they're beautiful, and they have texture now, and you can have them be blackout for your bedroom, and then when you don't want them, they're up, and they just go away. Or you just do them stationary, so you just have a little something on the window, and it does add something, right?
It was missing something without it, wasn't it? It was. It did. It did miss something. But also the ones that I have, they don't go anywhere.
Right, they're
stationary. I don't pull them down, they're stationary.
Right.
And when the fellow was measuring for it... he was going beyond the window trim, and I was adamant it had to stop where the window trim was, because I think that's another thing. The clean lines that continue with the window trim, that's contemporary, as opposed to sticking out past the window trim.
Because they become too elaborate, so you want clean lines.
Yes.
Absolutely. So let's talk about accessories in your space. You don't have a lot of accessories, but what you have is really, really special. The things you have are really special.
Oh,
let's talk about
what
you did in your dining room. And your dining room is relatively plain. It's got a beautiful table. And tell them what you put on the wall there, which is so different. I have never had this before. I love it. But it's, when I try to explain what it is, I'm like, I'm kind of like, tell them what you did decide to put in your dining room.
I put a wishbone. I call it my dinosaur wishbone. It's...
Tell them how big it is.
Almost three feet?
I think a little bit, not about width-wise, about 3 feet.
Tall.
Okay, but...
It's big.
Yeah.
It's big. And a woman made it who makes the, at the zoos, the Bronx Zoo and Philadelphia Zoo, and they make the trees and the rocks so that the apes... think they're still in the wild.
Wild.
So this is what she did. Her and her husband do this. That's their business.
How'd you find them? I mean, that's so neat.
Stockton Market.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So okay. I saw that and I knew I needed that because I have a wishbone thing going on with my grandchildren.
So instead of hanging a flowers or a painting from a local gallery, she has a massive wishbone. And the wishbone weighs about how many pounds?
40. Maybe.
Yeah. This 40-pound wishbone. So when she went to hang it, well, we had a little bit of a problem because this is a big, heavy wishbone.
Yes.
So what did you have to do to even hang it?
We finally found a hook for it.
And that didn't rip the sheetrock out.
No.
Here it is. This is another sign of contemporary. Lindsay has one wall hanging in the space, but the wall hanging has a story. The scale is big, and it's interesting, and it's one element. And that's, I think, another key of decorating contemporary. Less... but bigger elements, don't you think?
Yes, I have big things on the wall.
Big things, but not a lot of things.
Correct.
So I think a big note of that. You know, when we were setting up the table, one thing I haven't revealed to you is that I think the project came out so well that Design New Jersey magazine was very interested in it. When I sent them the test pictures, like, we want this house. So I guess the spring of this year, right? When did they come do the photo shoot? March?
April. I think it was April.
Yes, in April of this year, Design New Jersey picked Lindsay's house, a project that I worked on with her, as being an exceptional example of contemporary architecture and redesign, and did a rather elaborate full-day photo shoot of it. So it should be appearing at the late fall this year in an upcoming edition of New Jersey Design Magazine. I'll let you know when that comes out, which is kind of exciting. How did you feel when someone was going to photograph what we had worked on together? Were you nervous? Were you?
I was a little bit nervous.
Tell me why.
Because you said I had to have my picture taken.
In regards to design, Lindsay.
No, I was, to be honest, I thought it was exciting.
It is exciting.
The idea of it was exciting, but I really was excited for you.
Right.
It was really everything I felt was for you.
The thing you said to me that made me feel so good today, and you said it very quickly, was you felt like for the first time this house that you've lived in for so many years you fell in love with. And that gave me such joy that you said that. And I don't think you said that to be nice. I think you really felt that.
No, genuinely. I've lived in apartments in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. I've lived in the Victorian in Metuchen. And even in this house, and I've never loved where I live.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's the first time in my life. I really love it. I want to have people over. Mm. Not that I couldn't have people before.
Right.
It was what everything I had before was very nice, but I never loved it. Mm. But this, I'm so in love with it.
So, Lindsay, for people that are starting out, or maybe they have a house, or they moved into their grandparents' house or their parents' house, and they want to make it more contemporary, what are the couple things you think they could do right now to make it look more contemporary? Any sort of general tips you think? You think less color?
Less color.
Okay.
Yeah. Less color, because that's what I did in the Victorian house. I had
lots of color.
Every room was a different color.
But that's Victorian.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
so less color?
But I did it here too.
Yeah, in this the beginning.
House,
at
in
first.
The beginning.
Right.
Yes. And no, you need to have one color
throughout.
And if you do have another color, it's just either one tone up or one tone down from the main color.
So a monochromatic neutral palette, would you say?
I would.
Yeah. And then pops of color, right? Little pops.
Yeah, yeah. But if you can, which is not easy for people, you know, if you can buy furniture.
Sure.
New furniture. Mm-hmm. Just start getting contemporary
pieces.
And
then probably also just less stuff, right?
Less, absolutely
and
less.
And that's absolutely free.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? Lindsay, believe it or not, we came to the end of another hour on Modern Design. It goes by so quickly, especially that I have the guys in charge. This is so much fun. How am I? I'm not going to let them go back to school. Maybe I'll say I'll come up with something. But we have wonderful things coming up on Modern Design. We are transitioning to a television show. The cameras are here in studio, but they're not running yet. So we'll be doing some test stuff, and we're probably going to be the first show at the WHCR to go to video. So I'm excited about that. It's going to appear on the YouTube platform, but I'm also hearing it might be on Facebook Live. So that's something interesting we'll talk about in upcoming shows. Lots of wonderful topics. We're going to be live every week throughout the summer. So I look forward to seeing you all next week for another edition of Modern Design here on WHCR. Thank you, everybody, for being part. Thank you, for Lindsay, for being my guest. And thank
you guys
for working with me today.
Of course.
Take care. Bye-bye.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I consider the FBI director's most important duty to ensure that nothing distracts the selfless patriots at the FBI from the mission.
Christopher Wray testifying in front of Congress today as they consider his appointment to be the new head of the FBI. He said he'll run an independent bureau. Wray also said his loyalty is to the Constitution and the rule of law. He says the FBI won't be driven by anything other than facts, law, and impartial pursuit of justice. New details coming out on the crash that left 16 Marine soldiers dead. Here's Brigadier General Bradley James.
Indications are something went wrong at cruise altitude. There is a large debris pattern.
In Bucks County, Pennsylvania, investigators say they have evidence but no remains as they search for four missing men. The DA says search efforts are continuing on a 90-acre farm. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Allyn for VRA. In 2003, Kip Herridge founded VRA, his global investment newsletter. His VRA is unlike anything you've ever seen. He's outperformed Wall Street every year since 2003. Today, in honor of the national rollout of my radio show, Kip wants to give every listener his new book for free. It's called Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. To beat the markets and become wealthy in the age of Trump, get your free copy at VRAinsider.com. It's 100% free at VRAinsider.com. That's VRAinsider.com.
Weeds love your garden. They hide near flowers knowing you can't touch them. Now you can with Roundup.